Welcome to the Next Gen Leader Podcast, the podcast that provides you leadership insights and concrete tools for your daily challenges. Welcome to the Wolfpack Leader Podcast, and today I have a very special and unique guest with me. He flew in from Silicon Valley. You have to imagine a person who is a yogi. He travels across the world. He's a Burning Man enthusiast, a meditator, a chanter. He did five TEDx talks and wrote two books. That's one side of him. And the second side, he works for the biggest tech company in the world. So I'm really honored to have you here, Gopi Kulail, and you are the Chief Business Strategist AI of Google. Welcome.
Thank you, Diana. So happy to be here in the studios with you in Zurich.
Perfect. Well, let's start. And I have a very simple question at the beginning. So you're the Chief Business Strategist AI for Google. What does that mean? What does a Chief Business Strategist AI do?
I work with the 1,000 largest customers of Google, so think of the big global brands, and the C-levels of the leadership teams of these companies are trying to understand how AI will change the consumer behavior for their products, which could be food or automobiles or insurance or shoes. And they're trying to understand how they should adopt the business models internally and externally, how they should change the marketing, how should they should reach out and talk to the customers as a result of AI now being part of our business capabilities. So I think of my job as helping these client companies of Google think through their business strategies around AI. So jokingly, I say I'm an AI whisperer to the C-suite of our biggest partners and clients.
The AI whisper. I love that. Can you give a concrete example just to get the image? What exactly does it mean? Let's take in Switzerland, Nestle. What would that mean for Nestle, for example?
Well, if you look at the Nestle leadership, you know, they have many, many product groups, divisions. There might be a leader who's focused with globally looking at how chocolate is consumed and how Nestle markets its chocolates. Or another person could be water, another person could be dealing with, say, milk products. So they're all trying to understand how will the exploration, consideration, consumption of chocolates or water or milk products change in the future, because there will be AI-powered capabilities in all of the technology that people carry in their hands on devices like this. And keeping in step with that, Nestle now has to change its go-to-market approach. It might have to think differently about its even internal operations, whether it's product design and manufacturing, distribution, all of these. So I have conversations with them exploring that pathway from, let's say, from a consumer perspective, that intention that I need chocolates for my birthday party coming up, or I need more milk products, all the way to then consuming, buying and consuming it, and then talking about it or coming back and being a repeat customer. So if you look at the arc of the journey, AI is going to influence and change it. And similarly, the Nestle can also now think about how AI will be used to change its entire value chain from product development, new product consideration development, all the way to marketing it. So that's, in a nutshell, really how I help these companies think about AI and what it'll mean to them in the future.
Really interesting that you say that. There's a huge shift with AI. And I'm really curious, obviously, Wolfpack, our mission is to create the next generation of leaders. Mm-hmm. So do you think the leadership training will also change for leaders through AI, and how would that look like? Because I had just a conversation just recently with a company, and they said, well, the AI will probably not be able to capture our very special culture, so we don't believe that this is going to happen. What is your opinion and outlook?
Yeah, I believe AI will be used as a tool for leadership training. It will be an addition to current existing methods of leadership training. So a couple of examples that I can talk about is typically now when companies identify a group of leaders they're preparing for, they send them to their internal leadership development center and put them all through certain courses and training and maybe some practical hands-on methods of experiencing leadership principles, do some team exercises, etc. And the same training is delivered to every single person. But in the future, I expect that because of AI, we could actually have very, very customized training because each leader stepping into that leadership role is unique in his or her own style, and the AI tool can help do that. There's also an opportunity to have self-paced, customized training at your own pace where you learn these principles. And again, I expect AI-powered training tools allowing that in complement to the traditional training methods. The third area is as you go through your leadership role, especially in the beginning, you're learning, you're on training wheels, you're making mistakes. If you've stepped into, say, a new leadership role that you've not done before, what you're doing and how you're approaching it could be fed into an AI-powered training system, which then gives you the feedback and course correct it. An example that I'm often fond of talking about is most situations that you come across in a leadership setting in, say, a large company or organization probably has happened before, and there's a leader somewhere in the company who took a great decision. And it's buried somewhere in the folklore and the historical archives of the company. But AI tools can unearth it if you describe it, saying, when else has this situation happened, how was that handled, and what is the decision? And now you have a little bit of precedent to work by. So there are several different ways I can imagine in the future AI having a very positive impact on leadership development.
And do you think the AI will also capture the culture? And how do you think this is possible?
Well, AI can summarize for you what is the culture of each organization, because culture, again, is tucked away and buried in so many aspects of the company. And if you look through its historically, how has the company done certain things? And if you ask an AI tool to look at and saying, how would you describe it or summarize it? There are those elements that go in. And just as a test yesterday, and I was trying it when I typed in a company's name and asked an AI tool, Bard in this case from Google, how would you describe the culture of this company? And it gave me a pretty good summary, and I had an understanding of this global organization and what its culture is like as described by this. So that could be a starting point. And then when I interview or interact with people from that company, it gives me a sense of what is the culture on the ground and map it or match it against what maybe an AI tool summarized it for me.
So I'm curious, again, you're chief business strategist AI at Google, which is so impressive. But I know that you grew up in Kerala, in the south of India, in a very small village. And I believe your grandparents were farmers and even walked around barefoot. So how does that work from going from India, from this little village, to become the chief business strategist AI at Google in Silicon Valley?
Well, thank you for that. Yes, my roots go back to this tiny rice farming village called Chittalanjeri, where my grandparents lived pretty much their entire life. And my parents also lived and grew up. And that was their life, this rhythm of life around paddy and rice cultivation. And yes, even my parents actually walked barefoot to the village school. I grew up in small towns around southern India because my father's job took me to those places. But I still identify a lot with that rural agrarian life. This is my family. This is my identity. And I am amazed and have a lot of gratitude towards how life has given me an interesting journey that has taken me from that kind of a background or environment to what I am doing today, not just in terms of my professional self-expression, my work at Google, but other aspects of my life, like you mentioned, writing 2 books, 5 TEDx talks, speaking around the world, teaching at graduate business schools like Stanford and Wharton, etc. So it's been pretty incredible, and mostly I'm very, very grateful. But to answer your question, it shows that actually your starting point need not determine your destination. It's more a question of when doors open along the way, do you choose to walk through it and you choose to explore and expand with opportunities. And a couple of metaphors here might help. I always see the world in terms of this one philosophy. When a door opens, walk through it. In fact, it's one of my speeches, meaning just seize the opportunity, go in and explore. And mostly you may fail, sometimes you succeed, but it doesn't matter. It's your life. Live it fully. And it's okay to fall down on your face. Get up and keep walking. So that has helped. And second, I always have approached life, Diana, with sense of abundance, not scarcity. Sense of abundance. There's so much opportunity. People are there willing to help you, mentor you, grow. You can try new things and keep expanding. And I would even say, looking back over my life, I can't say I had a very explicit plan to get to this point. I did not. There was some general notion, some of the things. There's some decisions I made, sometimes to move countries or go pursue another degree or apply for certain jobs or pick certain industries. I've been lucky a lot in somehow my intuition guiding me. So, for example, years ago, saying technology industry, digital technologies, where the biggest opportunity is going to lie. And I would say even arriving at Silicon Valley around the same year when the browser made the internet possible, or a few years ago pivoting, saying among all the technologies that are out there between cryptocurrency and the metaverse and AI, I said, I'm going to focus on AI and study. There's a lot of luck involved in making the right call or trusting your intuition around it. All of those things have helped. But most importantly, it is, I think, a sense of playfulness, adventure, curiosity to exploring the possibilities of life that has led me to this point, and along with the taking risks and embracing failure.
So that's a perfect bridge to the topic. And in spirituality, awareness, mindfulness, because I met you a year ago in a totally non-business environment.
Completely.
In India.
Yes.
And we figured out we have some common work affiliates. So you combine, and that's what I really love about you, you combine this bucket of full of mindfulness, spirituality, meditation, with the other bucket that is technology and business. So just for somebody who has not been in or has not connection yet with spirituality and these topics, what is spirituality for you?
Well, for me, spirituality means two things. First is really exploring deeply who am I and what is my life all about, and trying to live your life at your highest possible potential. And the second part of spirituality is understanding and recognizing that there is something larger than us out there, and pausing and connecting with that something that is larger than ourselves, and people call it consciousness or energy. Those are two aspects. I mean, stripped of all other things, often it comes packaged in certain religious tradition and mysticism, etc., which I will not go into at this point because it may not be accessible to everyone. But just those two dimensions, who am I as a person? What is the best version of me I can be in the short instance of life that I'm given? And how do I reflect and contemplate on this something that is so large, so much more bigger than ourselves? And let me give you an example of what I mean by that. Today, the average life expectancy is 76 years across the world. That's about 4,000 weeks. It's pretty short if you think about it, 4,000 weeks. Of which about 1,000 weeks you're early stage and you're kind of still growing up, and another 1,000 weeks is later stage when you might be winding down or you might not have the right health and mobility situation to do something big. So you got about 2,000 good years to take all of your talents. And it is in that 2,000 year span that other human beings before us have gone to do incredible things. Everything we see around us, including internet or podcasting or travel or things that have changed education, quality of life, musical creativity, all that has come. And a number, billions of human beings have gone ahead and done that, right? They all tapped into their peak potential and made it possible. If we just look at knowledge captured in books alone, I think there are something like 32 million books published.
And you're one of them.
Exactly, exactly. I used to wander around bookstores wondering, who are these people who have written all these books? Where do they have the time? And so everything from mechanical engineering to flower arrangement to deep philosophical musings, it's incredible. I mean, this is human expression. And so one question is, so what is your expression and contribution in this brief instance of life? And the second thing I want just want to leave you with, again, just stopping and wondering at the awe of how big a planet or universe or consciousness we occupy and how insignificant our own lives are in that. I was at a party recently in San Francisco area, Silicon Valley, and I talked to an astrophysicist who was there, or a professor of astronomy, and I asked him, how far out into the universe can you see with these advanced telescopes? And he said 14.7 billion light years away. And he said that's sort of the outer edge of the universe, we known universe that we can currently see, 14.7 billion light years away. So let me put that number in context. If you are looking at a planetary object out there, light from that object started traveling. So light is the thing that we know travels at the highest speed that we know of. And it's been traveling for 14.7 billion years.
Wow.
And it arrived here just now. So what we're looking at is a view of that particular distant planet at the edge of the universe that we can see from 14.7 billion years ago. So we're not looking at the planet as it is now, or a star, or whatever object you're looking at. And just to put that in context, the Earth that you and I are sitting on currently is only 4.5 billion years. And this light is coming from something that is 14.7 billion light years again. And in that context, humans have been around on the planet for only 150,000 years. That's 0.003% of the Earth. And then there's our lives, which on an average will span about 76 years, mm-hmm. according to current averages. And then we sit here feeling very important, saying, don't you see me? So that's when you pause to say, this is a pretty big place we live in.
Now, how do I find my purpose within those 2,000 weeks? And I'm asked that because there's a lot of philosophers debating also in the past, do we have a purpose in life? Are we just beings, biological items running around in the world and don't have a purpose? Or are we here for a duty? Do we have a duty towards a society? What's your opinion around that? And second, how can somebody concretely find out what's his or her purpose in life?
Sure, sure. Yeah. I absolutely feel and agree that you need meaning and purpose in your life. In fact, in my book, The Happy Human, I have a whole chapter, a whole section actually, of many chapters that talks about meaning and purpose. I find that the pathway to greater fulfillment and joy and happiness. Yes. So I would argue that having a certain strong purpose. The next question is, what does it mean? And for me, I've defined having a sense of purpose into two buckets that coexist, an internal purpose and an external purpose. So it may differ for different people. For me, my internal purpose is taking this entire container that I've been given, my body, my breath, my brain, my consciousness, this life, and moving towards self-realization, self-actualization. And usually various contemplative, mystical, religious traditions have approaches to it, and I've adopted one of them. And in the path that I've adopted, it's even got a very defined word in Sanskrit. It's called nirvana, which is reaching the highest state of consciousness. And that's my internal purpose. And it's my personal contemplative internal journey. And every day I try to do a set of practices, etc., to step towards it. And that I think of your internal core purpose. And you can find it in any context. And some people do it in the wide open world and busy with everything. Some people retire to the top of the mountain and sit in a cave or a monastery and do it. And my favorite, one of my examples is actually finding that internal sense of purpose is the Dhamma brothers who are being imprisoned in for life, actually in a prison in the U.S. but who are taught to meditate. And they become deep meditators. There's a whole documentary about them. And even though they are, for their life, confined in the prison, they have found their freedom because they went deep inside through this meditation practice. It's fascinating, you know, the inner journeys that you can take when you have like a defined purpose around it. So that is about the internal purpose. And then in parallel, I have an external purpose, and I would suggest others also explore that. And my external purpose, which is how do I take everything that I've been given, my opportunities I've been given, and again, all of these talents that vest inside of me to be of service to the world and to be of self-expression in the world. And for me, professionally, it has been looking at the two skills and training I have, technology and business. So I went to engineering school, learned certain technologies. I went to business school, learned business practices. So I sit at the intersection of technology and business and ask the question, how can I use these two skills to be of greater good in the world? How can I use technology and business to be of greater good in the world, solve problems for humanity, reduce suffering, and increase the quality of life? And I found that kind of self-expression in my jobs in Silicon Valley, and in fact, the current one that I am doing for the last several years at Google. It suddenly struck me that I had a business plan for my startup company that kind of drove what I did week to week, fundraising, product development, finding the first customer, etc. But I had no business plan for my life. I had no plan for my life. I was just lurching from one demand to another. So I said, this is ridiculous. And so I sat there and wrote what I called the business plan for life, or the actual word I call it, the operating principles of my life. And I started writing it. Now, normally a business plan could be 50, 100 pages. But here I said, I want to just write one page. I said, my life should be simple and yet sophisticated enough to fit into one sheet of paper. So I tried to write in one page. And then I said, no, actually, I want to distill it into a few words. And I kept looking at the sheet and contemplating on it and sat in this meditative state and reduced it to 5 words. And it's almost like those 5 words are tattooed on my fingertips. And the whole idea is I should be able to look at my hand and say, this is my primary purpose in life, and reducing it to those 5 words. And this has been the governing principles of my life, meaning on a week-to-week basis, I said, think about those 2,000 weeks or the few more of those 2,000 left as life goes by. I dedicate my time and energy on those 5 words.
Now we're very curious.
Exactly.
What are those 5 words, if you want to share?
I'll come to it in a minute. But that actually gave me a lot of clarity, because most of the time I say yes to things that serve those 5 things because they're important to me, and say no to a lot of things that does not serve the 5 things. When I was at TED, and at the main TED conference in Vancouver, we had to have small group discussions around dinner. We had the opportunity, and without even knowing what the discussion was, I signed up for something around a word I'd never heard of, ikigai, the Japanese term for finding your purpose in life. And that was one of the best discussions I've been part of. You get to your ikigai, your true purpose in life, when 4 things happen. You do what you love, you do what you're good at, you do what there's a demand for, and you do what the world will pay for if you need economic sustenance. Some people don't. They said, I'm fine with the first 3. Those 3 are the pillars that have worked well for me.
So the key to find your purpose is trying out things. There's enough information out there. And you have those 3 pillars, which sounds amazing. I think I have very similar pillars like you. And I think for all those next generation out there who want to find out their purpose, I think this is an amazing process to go through. At least start with those 3 pillars, if you can. But now, Gopi, tell me your 5-word business plan. I'm so curious.
Yeah, the operating principles of my life, right? Yeah. The first word is spirituality is what I wrote. And if that's too big and heavy for people, you can simply say finding your sense of self. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do it means? You know, who am I? What's my purpose here? And what's my sense of connection to everything else out there, other beings out there, and to the universe itself? So I encompass all of that exploration of your inner life into this one word, spirituality. The second, I put one word, family. By family, I mean family and friends. And I think of the 100 people on this planet who are closest to me. I know them. I can name them. And
wow,
this could
people.
Be 100 people. That's how I came up with it. It can be 10 for someone, but you asked me, so this is how I said. Again, this is your plan. You can make it however you want it to be. So think of the 100 people who are closest to me. Some are biologically related to me, like my parents or my siblings, and some not. I went to school with them, or I went to Davos with them. So think of this 100 people and ask, how can I maintain the deepest possible relationship with them? And invest time in those relationships, being present to them and spending time with them. The third word is health. And by health, often people think of only physical health, but I think of physical health, my mental health, my emotional health, my spiritual health, and my financial health. Because money is also an energy that drives the world, and you want to put it in the right place. Again, health broadly defined as my physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, and financial health. The fourth areas, I didn't want to call it work, it seemed too limiting, so I call it professional passion. What is your professional passion? What is your self-expression in that professional context where you use your talent to be of service to others and maybe earn a living too? And there can be other facets of as well. And the fifth I call personal passions, the things that you do just because they move you deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And you may or may not drive an income out of it. No one may even see the output of it. You just do it because you're passionately driven. And then people ask, like, what are those for me? And for me, those are public speaking, yoga, global travel, certain genres of music, and exploring fringe and unusual experiences, fringe communities, and different interesting experiences, like Burning Man, for example.
Yes, you have been like 18 times there.
I've been to 18 Burning Mans. And let me make one more point around it. You said that point, and then you moved away very quickly. You said, so finding a purpose is about trying out new things, trying out different methods. It's even deeper, Diana, for me, from that perspective. Because one principle I learned at Burning Man, it's sort of the driving ethos of people who go to Burning Man. And that principle is, all of our life, your life, my life, all of our life is one giant experiment, if you think about it. It's one giant experiment. Experiments, by definition, lead to unexpected results. But we will never find out till we try. We will never find out till we try. And our purpose in life is to keep conducting a lot of experiments and learn from them, take the results that serve you well, and keep moving on.
So I was wondering, we talked about AI, spirituality, and business, and how to find your purpose. And now, today, it is expected of a leader to perform all the time. And I look back to my volleyball career, and I feel it's kind of similar, where you have a week to prepare for the game.
Yeah.
And maybe during the week you can adjust depending on your shape of your body. But then on the weekend, on Saturday, you have to perform. There's no excuse, I want to do it later or another time. You have to perform no matter in what shape you are. So translating that to business now, you have to be in peak performance. And I know you talked about your meds philosophy. How do we create peak performance? What are the most important elements?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In the world of business, you're constantly performing quarter to quarter, week to week. And then on particular days, there might be important meetings with the clients or thinking of the next year or meeting and motivating the people who work on your teams and directing their lives. So all of this happens all the time. And yes, you have to be in a state of peak performance. And I find that the leaders who I'm inspired by have certain rituals by which they try to stay as much as possible in their peak performance zone. Athletes do that, and so should professional business athletes, if you want to call them that. So my methodology, my rituals, fall into a framework I call MEDALS, M-E-D-A-L-S, and I tell people who want to listen to me about it, saying, give yourself medals every day. And medals represents eight things, and the medals represent those eight things are M for meditation, E for exercise, move your body, D for diet, as in nutrition, because what you put into your body in terms of food and beverage has a huge impact on your body's functioning. A for appreciation, so it's shifting your mind from worrying about things to appreciating the things that are indeed going great in your life. L stands for two things. L is for love, especially self-love, hugely important in a society where there's a lot of self-loathing. And L is for learning, because your brain needs exercise as well. So try to consciously put in some time to wrap your brain around something complex and new. And then S stands for two things. S is for sleep, because that's very restorative, and you've told me how important it is for you, and it's the secret of your success as well. And S for social connections. We are social beings. So those are the eight things that are my part of my daily rituals for putting my mind, body, and spirit into a state of peak performance.
It's amazing to see that we, in the Western world especially, have a business plan, right? And we talk about business, we think about business, but most don't have their own business plan, like you mentioned, your five business plan words.
Yeah, so, your operating principles, yes, of your life, your personal life plan.
Life plan. Exactly. So this is important to...
The business of life plan.
The business of life plan. And then you have some strategies to find out how you find your purpose, which is exploring, we said.
Yeah.
And then obviously you can only do that if you're in peak performance. And you mentioned this medals, which you practice every day, and that actually creates this peak performance to achieve all those things in 2,000 weeks. And then as a last element, it's the measuring impact, like having clear goals that you want to achieve for your personal business plan. So it's a beautiful conversation, I believe, to remind ourselves that we are here to experiment and also have our own life purpose business plan. So if you could give one most important advice to the next generation of leaders, one that you think is the most important, the most crucial one, what would it be?
Dana, so the most important advice I would give to people is, first of all, here's a fact. There are an estimated 100 billion people who have been on this planet. This is what population statisticians estimate. 100 billion people have walked on this planet. 92 billion are gone. There's 8 billion of us currently alive, and we'll also be gone to be replaced by another 8 or 9 billion. And yet, nature is so unique and prolific that each one of those 100 billion people, none of them has ever repeated. You never find two people exactly the same or look the same. It's always very different. And it's staggering that 100 billion instances of this human life have been created, and yet each person's life is unique and special at an individual level. And we all have our incredible talents and possibilities and opportunities and circumstances. It is a gift and a blessing to see what can you do with you as a unique human being. Exploring that and expanding the boundaries of that and living at your highest potential and having the greatest impact that you can in whatever time you're given, with all the incredible opportunities that are in front of you and whatever be the circumstances. That's your gift and purpose and leadership opportunity. So discover and explore and conduct a lot of experiments. That would be my message to everyone. Find your unique talent. Put yourself into a state of peak performance. Give yourself medals every day and become the best possible version of yourself.
Incredibly inspiring. final words of you, Gopi. Thank you so much for coming to Switzerland. That was a really honor to have you here. And I definitely gonna do you advice as well. Thank you so much, Gopi.
Thank you, Diana. It's a pleasure and honor to be on this podcast with you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Wolfpack Leadership Podcast. We hope this episode has inspired you in your leadership journey. Remember to subscribe and send us feedback so we can provide even better content for you. Stay tuned for more insightful episodes. This is Diana signing off from Wolfpack.